Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 3 on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The objectives are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit concerning creation, scriptures, Israel, Satan, Jesus, the sinner, the church, and believers. Our key verse today is found in John, the 14th chapter, the 26th verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Introduction. The purpose of this chapter is to describe the ministries of the Holy Spirit from creation of the world through his present ministry to believers. Creation. The Holy Spirit was active in creation of the earth. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And in Psalms 104:30, it says, "Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." Scriptures. The Holy Spirit's ministry involves the written word of God, which is called the Holy Scriptures or the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit ministered by, one, revelation. He spoke to human writers the message of God. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Inspiration. He guided these writers so the message could be accurate. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Illumination. He enlightens human hearts to understand the message of the gospel. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Israel. The nation of Israel was chosen by God as a people through which he could reveal himself and fulfill his master plan in the world. And it was through Israel that the Messiah came to save man from sin. The experiences of Israel provided an example both of success and failure for believers. From Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the gospel spread throughout the world. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to Israel is evident from the very beginning of the nation. The Holy Spirit, first off, came upon the leaders of Israel. So there's too many examples for this to reproduce all the scriptures as part of this manual. But the reference is listed in the four further study section of this chapter. So you want to study the subject. We'll provide an understanding of how the Holy Spirit moves in the lives of people during the Old Testament times. He came upon Israel's places of worship. We found that in Exodus 40:34. It says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And in 1 Kings 8:10, it says, "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord." He guided them to the promised land. In Nehemiah 9:20, it says, "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldeth not thy manna from their mouth, and gaveth them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so they lacked nothing." Will come upon Israel during the tribulation. The tribulation is a future time of great trouble in the earth, and God will place a special mark of protection on Israel. And we find that in Revelation 7:2-4. It says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard a number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed, and 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. It will come upon Israel during the millennium. The millennium is 1,000 years of peace during which Jesus will reign on the earth. We find that in Zechariah 12:10. It says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Satan. The Holy Spirit even has a ministry concerning Satan. The Holy Spirit is in the restraining spiritual force that limits the power of Satan. In Isaiah 59:19, it says, "And the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." When the Holy Spirit is removed from the world, then the spirit of the Antichrist will have control for a period of time. The Antichrist will be an evil world leader. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receiveth not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Jesus. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was evident in the life of Jesus. Jesus was, first off, conceived by the Spirit. We find that in Luke 1:35. It says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And in Matthew 1:18-20, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, that when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost." He was anointed by the Spirit. We find that in Matthew 3:16. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Also in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." And in Acts 10:38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And lastly, Hebrews 1:9, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." He was sealed by the Spirit. In John 6:27, it says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." He was led by the Spirit. In Matthew 4:1, it says, "And when Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." He was empowered by the Spirit. In Matthew 12:20, it says, "But if I cast out the devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." He was filled by the Spirit. In Luke 4:1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And in John 3:34, it says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." He was troubled in the spirit. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came unto her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. That's John 11:33. He rejoiced in the spirit. In Luke 10:21, it says, in the hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He offered through the Spirit. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He was raised by the Spirit. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. In Romans 1:4, it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He commanded disciples through the Spirit. We find that in Acts 1:2. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he went through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Sinners. The Holy Spirit's ministry concerning the sinner was described by Jesus, and we find that in John 16:7-11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, I will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. The church. The Holy Spirit serves several purposes in the church. First off, he formed it. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded up together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's Ephesians 2:19-22. Inspires its worship. We find that in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The Holy Spirit directs its missionary activities. We find in Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. We also find in Acts 16:6-7-10, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia, in the region of Galatia, and was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And after he had seen a vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for us to preach the gospel unto them. And in Acts 13:2-4, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. The Holy Spirit selects its ministers. In Acts 20:28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Anoints his preachers. 1 Corinthians 2:4, it says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Holy Spirit guides its decisions. And Acts 15:28 says, for it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. He baptizes with power. We find that in Acts 2, 1 through 4, which says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Believers, the Holy Spirit convicts, serves as an important role in the lives of believers as he convicts. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin to draw men and women to Jesus. You could not become a believer without this ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, 8 through 11, it says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged." He regenerates. The Holy Spirit changes your life when you become a believer. In Titus 3, 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And also we find, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I said unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." That's John 3, 3 through 7. He sanctifies. The Holy Spirit takes this life, which has been changed by salvation, and enables righteous living. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." He baptizes. Chapter 4 of this manual deals with this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." He dwells within. The purpose of this indwelling is to strengthen a new nature received through salvation. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not at your own?" And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." "Then I say, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so they cannot do things that they would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And that's Galatians 5, 16 through 18. In the natural world, after a house has been lived in by a person for a period of time, it reflects the character of that person. Likewise, our spiritual houses should reflect the character of the Holy Spirit who dwells within. First off, he strengthens. Ephesians 3:16 says, "Then he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man." He unites. The Holy Spirit makes a believer one in the Spirit with God and other believers. This is called unity of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17 it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being made are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto that one Spirit." He intercedes. In Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. June 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That's Ephesians 6:18. He guides. In John 16:13, it says, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. In Romans 8:14, it says, For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He demonstrates love. The Holy Spirit shows the love of Christ to and through the believer. In Romans 5:5, it says, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit conforms to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit conforms the believer to the image of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, But we all with the open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He reveals truth, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that was 1 Corinthians 2:10. He teaches, according to 1 John 2:27, it says, But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit assures of salvation. In Romans 8:16, it says, And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And in 1 John 3:24, it says, And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby ye know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. He gives liberty. Romans 8:2 says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He comforts. In Acts 9:31, it says, And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And in John 14:17-26, it says, Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He quickens. In Romans 8:11 it says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or empower or give new life and resurrect your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He speaks. In Mark 13:11 it says, But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that ye speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. That was Mark 13:11. He demonstrates God's power. In 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, it says, And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. He inspires worship. In John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He empowers for witnessing. The power to witness is the true evidence that one is baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8 it says, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Gives gifts and develops fruit. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. These are specific abilities to enable him to function effectively as part of the church. The Holy Spirit also develops spiritual fruit in the believer's life. And spiritual fruit refers to the nature of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Because of their importance, the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are discussed in separate chapters. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test, and please join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.